I sense the joy of the Lord. I sense the calmness of His presence. And I sense the urgency of alertness. The urgency of alertness. You know, we all know God is on the move. Amen? Sometimes He's trying to move us out of the way, too. You know, we've been talking about the weapon of deception. Amen? And of course, the deception's reflection. And one of the things that came to me today in the area, of course, we know that there's much deception in our country and it's spreading through the world, and especially in the area where, you know, the financial area in this country, which has been devastated, you know, half of the country's on food stamps. 21 million people are out of jobs. That's a lot of people. The debt's constantly increasing. And one of the things that the Lord was sharing with me is that it's because of the enemy that's brought us into this by deception. One of the things He shared with me today was the area that the enemy doesn't want. In other words, we're seeing all of this unemployment, what's going on. It's not so much about the unemployment, it's the area that the enemy is trying to prevent God's kingdom from being employed. And the purpose of that is so that if He can shut down the finances in the kingdom of God, He can shut down the spreading of the gospel as much as He can. And I began to look at this, I'm going, wow, this is, you know, we're so busy looking at what's what, who's at blame or whatever. But it's actually, we know that the enemy is the one who's infiltrated this country, and it's the body of Christ that allowed that to happen. Because the body of Christ did not stand up for its boldness and stand up for the truth. And to speak out when it was supposed to speak out, they kept quiet. They didn't say what they were supposed to say when it was time to say it. They kept quiet. They were afraid of offending someone. Well, I'm not afraid of offending anyone. And neither should you be. Because when we're concerned about offending someone, then we're willing to deny Christ. But you don't know my circumstance. I don't care about your circumstance. Does everybody understand? God is not looking at our circumstance. He's looking at whether we're willing to be faithful. Does everybody understand that? That's what He's looking for. Look at our own circumstances have brought us. We brought them. We brought our own circumstances because of our waverness of faith, because of things that we've done, spoke, things that we've touched, things that we agreed with the voice of a stranger. We cannot blame anyone or the economy or the government. We personally are at blame. And that's why He's calling all the body of Christ to come to repentance. 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 It's amazing how many people I talk to and I say, well, we get into a conversation and so forth. And I say, well, so when's the last time you repented? Oh, I don't know. I was hoping they'd say 5 minutes ago. Because there is no repentance, there is no humbleness. And because there's no humbleness, there's pride. And God rejects the proud but gives grace to the humble. So that's why so many people walk around and not knowing what to do. This country is in a state, it's in a chaotic state. It's in a place where there's much division. And it's not only happening here in the country, but it's happening globally. Because the enemy has stirred up and infiltrated for man to kill man. Amen? Again, he is trying to prevent the finances. But the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. The thing is we need to go get it. It's not going to be mailed to you. Hello. We need to go get it, and we go get it through jobs. We go get it through market ministries involved in the world system. We go get it. It's laid up for us. You know, the word says, no worky, no eaty. Don't become granolas. Oh, I'm going to pray it in. Yeah, God's, while you're praying, God's saying, go get a job. And the reason for that is trying to get you into a place, because it's not so much about the finances, it's about getting positioned so that you can declare the glory of God. So that you can be a voice. And wherever you are. So that we can be a prophetic voice. We should be the prophetic, we should be doing an area of declaring the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God is prophetic proclamations. The world is looking for answers. And until we get out of our closets, hallelujah. You know, I'll never forget, I after my visitation from the Lord, and I spent, I don't know, about a year in the closet. The Lord said, okay, come on. I said, what? He said, take the closet with you and get out there. I want you to be a voice. I want you to be my voice. I want you to carry my presence. I want you to tell the truth. That's when he said, start a ministry called True. Because it's going to be truthful. It's not going to cut around anything. It's not going to compromise anything. You know, not many people can handle the truth. In fact, most people don't want to know the truth. Yeah, I want to know all about it. No, that's, I don't want it to know. But I'm telling you, God is raising a generation now, the final end generation, that is lives for truth. They live for truth. That's what they live for. They don't live for their jobs. They don't live for anything else. They don't live for their families. They don't live for anything. They live for truth. And they're willing to do everything it takes, no matter what, to carry the truth. You know, a person came into the shop, our thrift store, and these two women, and they worked for the city or something for education, county education. Anyways, they just happened to stop by, and I happened to walk in. And Carolyn had mentioned, here comes our pastor. And of course, they looked at me like, what kind of pastor is this? I said, not traditional. I said, this ministry's willing to go into places where people won't go. We're out to reach the unreachable and train them up. The ones who thought they were had no purpose. See, God sent everyone into the world with purpose. To give them purpose, to give them the truth, that they might know who they are, because the enemy's been preventing them from knowing who they truly are. They've been caught up in the deception. They only looked in the mirror, and the mirror reflected all their sorrows, their oppression, their pains, and their past. But I'm telling you, as you look through the mirror, you live in the future. There's an eternal purpose. And it's time that the body of Christ raised up to proclaim the prophetic word of truth. It is time. This is not religion. Don't worry about denominations. Don't worry about who you're going to offend. We're not out to offend anyone, but we're out to tell the truth. Amen? Because truth is going to judge us when we stand before Him. Would you turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12? Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. Can everybody hear me? Let's speak this together. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the angel Satan was sent to the earth, him and his third of his angels. They were cast to the earth to be sentenced to the earth. And they deceived the whole world, and they consistently deceived the whole world. It's still under deception. And verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life. In other words, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb because they confessed their sins. The blood is not activated without confession. They overcame the enemy because they were humble enough to repent. Amen? They confessed their sins with a humble spirit. It says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. In other words, the word of their testimony as witnesses of Jesus the Christ, they had prophetic proclamations. See, even the testimony of Jesus is prophetic proclamation. Telling people the truth is prophetic proclamation. We go into the jails and we speak truth to them. I was in the jail today. I was talking about the mark of the beast and how things are happening and what's going on in the world. See, prophetic proclamations are not only warnings, but they are telling things of what's coming to prepare us for what's coming also. Prophetic proclamations. Let's go a little further. And it says, and they did not love their lives to what? Death. In other words, they were not willing to deny Christ. But they were willing to deny themselves. They were not willing to take the mark of the beast or worship its image. They were willing to die. See, dying for Christ is an honorable death. Dying for the devil is a terrible death. No honor at all. In verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. And woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he is a short time. Now, this is prophetic. In this, there's three parts to this whole area. Because God's word is three-dimensional. It speaks of past, present, and future. And in this, he talks about the devil has come down with great wrath. This great wrath is known as great tribulation. Because Satan himself will put on flesh in mid-tribulation. Has everybody got it? Satan himself will put on flesh in the middle of the 7-year tribulation. And this will be known as the Great Tribulation for the last 3.5 years. It says again, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Why rejoice in those who dwell in them? Because the rapture has taken place. The body of Christ was removed. We are now in heaven, as long as you're right with God. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. In other words, he's got 3.5 years left. Verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Now the woman also represents Israel, but it also represents the body of Christ. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the presence of the serpent. Okay, this is 3.5 years. Time, times, and half time. Time meaning 1 year, times meaning 2 years, which is 3 years, and half time meaning 3.5 years. In this 3.5 years, the 2 wings are associated with Jesus' transfiguration when Moses and Elisha showed up. Because it's going to represent the rapture. Those who are dead in Christ and those who are alive in Christ will be taken. But physically, it will mean Israel will be protected. Verse 15. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Most likely on this is an area where attack would come to Israel, but there would be an enormous earthquake to protect her. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to get saved after the rapture. Unfortunately, it'll be too late. They will have to stay here for the 3.5 years of the wrath of God. Actually, the wrath of the devil, too. Because God's going to use Satan to bring his wrath to the earth. And then he's going to destroy Satan at the end of it. Is everybody okay? In chapter 13 and verse 5. Speak it with me. And he was given a what? A mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months, which is what? 3.5 years. So he was given a mouth. In other words, he was doing prophetic proclamations also. See, the devil likes to use people to prophesy for him. People don't realize that. They don't realize that your words do not fall to the ground. They are picked up by demons or they're picked up by angels of God. They do not fall to the ground. And the enemy will use them against you, or God will use them against your enemy. In verse 6, then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who what? Dwell in heaven. Well, we'll be dwelling in heaven. But sticks and stones may break bones, but his words ain't going to touch me. And verse 7. And it was granted him to make war with the saints who are left here on the earth. And to what? Overcome them. And authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. This is because this is God's wrath. He will use Satan, and he will allow him to steal, kill, and destroy. Why? Because the age of grace has ended. Verse 8. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They are going to worship the image of the beast. And if anyone has an ear, let him hear. Those that will worship the beast or take the mark will no longer have their name written in the book of life. Once they've taken it, it is removed. See, when you give your last breath up, everybody's name is written in the book until the last breath. Then it either stays there or it's removed. Because who you serve when you die is where you go. Amen? Does everybody understand that now is the time to stand up? We need to tell people about this, don't we? We need to be bold about this. We need to let people know. You know, the Word tells us if we don't warn the wicked, if we don't warn the righteous, the blood is on our hands. It's our responsibility. And Daniel chapter 12, prophetic proclamation. See, the enemy does not want you to speak truth. He doesn't want you to. He knows that when you begin to speak truth, it begins to damage him. Daniel 12, in verse 1. Now we know that during this time, this is what's going to happen. In this last 3.5 years, it says in verse 1, at that time, Michael, who is the archangel, shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people will be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep, who have died, in the dust of the earth shall awaken, rapture. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked and there stood two others, one on this riverbed and one on the other riverbed, bank. And one said to the man, clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the two waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half time. That's the last 3.5 years. And when the power of the holy people has been what? Completely what? Shattered. This, see, this goes along with Revelation 12 and 13. All these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall be do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of the desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days, which is 3.5 years. And this is going to happen in mid-tribulation, when Satan himself puts on flesh, goes into the temple, and proclaims himself as God. 12. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will rise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Daniel was a prophetic voice. He proclaimed, listen, we wouldn't know this. We wouldn't know this, would we? If he wasn't willing to do something. He was a prophetic voice to declare prophetic proclamations of truth. Amen? It is these prophetic proclamations that have warned, prepared, and even shifted heaven's attack on Satan's kingdom. See, what you speak will move heaven. God dispatches his angels on your behalf. These are known as mysteries. Mysteries, again, are prophetic proclamations. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The mysteries of God are what? Prophetic proclamations of his purpose. They are prophetic proclamations of his purpose or for his purpose. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Is everybody okay? Let's speak it together. Let a man so consider us as what? Servants of Christ. In other words, this means servants to the anointing. And the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth. We should be considered as servants to the anointing and stewards of the what? Mysteries of God. That means the mysteries are prophetic proclamations. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Servants to the anointing and stewards to the mysteries of God, which is the prophetic voice of things to come, to warn and prepare. We are exposing satanic strategies. We are exposing satanic strategies. Has everybody got it? And we are also promoting, by proclamations, the move of the Spirit and his will. They are called now words. Everyone say a now word. We need to have now words. They're right now. They pertain to now, because in the Spirit, there is no distance or time. The word now will affect past, present, and future. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. We are to consider ourselves servants to the anointing and stewards of the mysteries of God. Proclaimers of the truth, prophetic proclamations that affect the present, the past, and the future. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Let's speak it. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom. Declaring to you the what? Testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Wow. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to what? Nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Those are prophetic proclamations. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So God speaks the wisdom, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which is the prophetic voice within us. In other words, the only way that this can be done, we must be in the Spirit and we must be filled with the Spirit. Because if you're not filled with the Spirit, you cannot be in the Spirit. And that's another thing that the enemy tries to get you to do. You know, people try to battle by memorization. You cannot win by memorization. Is everybody with me? You battle by visualization. So you must have vision. And the only way that that can be obtained is by being filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Because you cannot receive the things of God unless you are in the Spirit. Has everybody got it? Why? Because the enemy will come and steal, won't he? He comes to steal. He'll come. Look, there are people who have been filled with the Spirit, but they're not staying filled with the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit the other day, but today they're empty. They're half full. And if you're half full, then there's room for something else. Hallelujah. Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse 1. And let's speak this together. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. A virgin is one who has been washed by the blood of the Lamb. It's not how you feel. It's not what you've done in your past. If you've repented of your sins and your ways, you are a virgin. I don't care if you slept with the whole city. You're a virgin. Everything is made brand new. In verse 2, and five of them were wise and five were what? Foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. In other words, they did not stay filled. The oil represents God's anointing, the presence. A lamp will not stay lit without oil, will it? But the wise took oil in their vessels with them. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Now, how do you stay filled with the oil? Worship. Not being silent. Worship. So that means that they had to proclaim prophetic proclamations in song. And it allowed them to be filled. What do we say? Fill me with your glory, Lord. Show me your glory. Fill me with your Spirit. We love your presence. I am nothing without you. Now you're asking to be filled. Of course, if you're not willing to humble yourself, you can't worship. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lips. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. In other words, you must purchase the oil yourself. Nobody can purchase the oil for you. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. See, it's our responsibility to maintain his presence because we are in a time that nothing will be affected without the presence of the Spirit of God, known as anointing. See, when we're not filled with the Spirit, when we're not saturated with the Spirit, we're looking for fulfillment. And the enemy knows that if you're not filled or saturated with the Spirit, he begins to put things before you. He begins to mess with your mind. He begins to remind you of the things that brought false fulfillments. He begins to bring guilt. He begins to bring condemnation. He begins to bring fear. And all of a sudden you begin to hear the what if, what if, what if. How about what if you just shut up? So there's that area where his presence, the anointing, nothing will be effective without it now. Nothing. I don't care how much word you know. It's His presence. In fact, if you grab hold of this, you know, they use olives to crush the olive to bring the olive oil, which is used for the anointing oil. Amen? But the olive is made by the Word. So it must be crushed, digested, to become oil. Does everybody got it? And when that is mixed with the oil of the Spirit, it becomes the anointing. Is everybody okay? That's why we crush olives. Isn't that why Jesus was crushed? The Word who became flesh became crushed so that His anointing could flow to me and you. In Daniel chapter 10, prophetic proclamations. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 7. Whew. Sure got hot in here, didn't it? Glory. Hallelujah. Better lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. Saturation, Daddy. Saturation, saturation, boldness. Remove all the wimpiness. The woes is meesies. Yes, blindness of our own sicknesses and diseases and infirmities and blindness of those things that we can walk out of them and leave them behind. That we can walk out away from our fears and our doubts and unbeliefs and walk in the true anointing of your Spirit with a pure heart, a pure mind, and clean hands. In Jesus' name. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. He saw the vision. He was the only one that saw. For men who were with me did not see the vision. This happened to Saul also. But a great terror fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. What two things he had to do? He had to set his heart to understand and humble himself. That's why Daniel had such great vision. In verse 13, he said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which is now Iran, withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. And when he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of my Lord talk with you and my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is my breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. You know why? Because he received a prophetic proclamation. He ate the words that were spoken to him, and he became strong. And said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Again, he was the only one, wasn't he? Why? Because he humbled himself. Let me share something with you. Humility is the key that accelerates revelations. Humility is the key that escalates revelations. And these revelations are needed to advance to the next level. So everybody got it? I'm going to say it again. Humility is the key that accelerates revelations, which are needed to advance to the next level as a prophetic voice of proclamation. Or else you'll easily be stopped. And 1 Peter chapter 5. Why? Because God gives grace to the humble. Amen. But he rejects the proud. 1 Peter chapter 5. Is everybody getting this? I sense an anointing that's imparting boldness tonight. I encourage you, eat these words. Eat the prophetic proclamations tonight. Eat the scroll that's being released to us. In verse 5, it says what? Read it with me. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And grace is the plan of God to escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. He's trying to prevent you from getting to this place. He's trying to cause you to begin to rely on your own talents and abilities, your own strengths. He'll do everything that he can to cause you to be dependent. Amen. And he'll cause you to be granola too, any way he can. Nutty and fruity. Grace is the plan to escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. 1 Chronicles 16. He does not want you to speak the truth. 1 Chronicles 16. In verse 8. Is everybody there? Proclamations. Let's speak it together. I'll give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Are these all proclamations he's speaking about? Yeah. Prophetic proclamations. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as an allotment of your inheritance, when you were few in number, and indeed very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do not do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty before him, strength and gladness are in his place. Give the Lord, O families of the peoples, give the Lord the glory and strength. Give the Lord the glory, do his name, bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the seas roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice in all that is in it. Let the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. O give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercies endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, they were giving glory to him. Listen, we want to glorify God, don't we? Well, we must personally reflect his presence and manifest his life to bring glory to his name. That's how we glorify him. Not only do we glorify him by proclamation, but how we live. Amen? How we live. In other words, we personally must reflect his presence and manifest his life. That's what brings glory to him. And we do this with a prophetic proclamation because we are now the voice of the future. We are from the future. We carry the voice from the future into the present. Go to Ephesians 6. So while you're singing and praising God, you're actually bringing proclamation. You're moving heaven. Things are happening. You know, when David, King David, was getting ready to battle with Goliath, Goliath rebuked him, mocked him, said, you little wimp. What are you doing, man? I'm about 200 or 300 pounds heavier than you and about 6 feet taller than you, and you know. And David said, you come with a sword, and I come in the name of the Lord. And today I will have your head. And he did. He did. He didn't run. He had holy anger because the Philistines were mocking the God of Israel and his army. And everybody was afraid to fight the Philistine because everybody tried to fight him with their own strength. David didn't. He said, look it, man, you come with a sword, a shield. I'm coming in the name of the Lord, and today I'll have your head. Amen? You must overcome your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions, your circumstances, your desires that are trying to cause you and prevent you from walking in the Spirit, being filled in the Spirit, and proclaiming the things that are of truth of God Almighty, the eternal things in the present realm, by what you speak. Bam! It changes things. We have the ability to change the atmosphere. Man, there's times I go into jail, there's so much oppression, it's ridiculous. But we change the atmosphere. It's our responsibility to remove the presence of evil to bring the presence of God. You do that in your workplace. See, but if you let the presence of evil overcome you because you're, oh, woe is me. I have to work in this awful place. Oh, shut up. And stand up and fight. Get your eyes off yourself. Get out of the woe is me syndrome and take dominion. Take the atmosphere, take the land, and take the cash. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6. Do a Holy Ghost stick up. 6:10. Let's speak it together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, which is the trickery. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Listen, we must learn to get into alignment with the angelic. Has everybody got it? How do you learn? Because the things that you're speaking, the angels are moving on your behalf. Is everybody with me? We must learn to get into alignment with the angelic to be effective in spiritual warfare. I'll give you an example. While we're praying, while we're worshiping, the Bible says while you worship, the angels are dispatched to ambush your enemies. Right? Okay, Daniel waited, what, 21 days to get an answer? Because the angel who was carrying the message was held up by the prince of Persia, the principality in Persia. And they had to wait for assistance to come from Michael, the archangel. What if you bound the powers of darkness, the principalities, and wickedness in heavenly places that are coming against the angels working on your behalf? See, it's time we use the keys to bind and loose, and we use the weapons of God. Most people don't. You know the weapon of God they use? Ah! That ain't a weapon. See, weapons are used to overcome. When they go, ah, Jesus, they're crying out for rescue. Rescue me. Why? Because he hasn't used nothing. He haven't fought. He might have used one scripture. Oh, no weapon formed against me can prosper. Fight. Press in. Kick butt. You can pull the arrows out later. Make sure you don't bring him home, though. Don't worry. He's the healer. You get a couple wounds on you, praise God. He got some wounds for us. Again, we've got to learn how to get in alignment with the angelic, the angels working on our behalf. You have got legions of angels on your behalf. If you have over 2,000 angels on your behalf and one angel can kill 180,000 people, what are you worried about? Now, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord hangs out with the one who fears God. Reverence, honor, and respect. So if you're prideful, you can expect that angel to be way distant from you. Where are you at? Man, you better humble yourself, homie. Yeah. Now, there are things that will hinder our alignment. Are you ready? Write them down. Negative speaking is the number one. Unbelief is number two. Sin. In other words, when you don't confess your sins. Not giving God the glory. And disobedience. Negative speaking, unbelief, sin, unconfessed sin, not giving God the glory, and disobedience. Those things will hinder your alignment. Everybody got it? Good. Go to Revelation 16. Church is not going to be the way it used to be. As you can well see. Things are changed. Things are different. We gather together to get refreshed, filled, imparted, and get fill up the Holy Ghost bazooka, get rearmed again. You know, we get the things that are being released, the weapons, encouragement, so that we can go out and battle. In every marketplace, no matter where you are, no matter what's happening. You know, I was telling you before about the two women that came into the store and so forth. And we start, you know, one of the things that all of a sudden you could just sense. And a woman looked at me and said, would you pray for me? And she's a believer. And you know, because in our dressing rooms it says, don't be afraid to ask for prayer. See, this is just undercover. You know, upscale thrift. Undercover for God Almighty. Amen. Revelation 16 and verse 5. Let's speak it together. And I heard the angel of the water saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be. Because you have judged these things, for they have shed blood of the saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Whoa. And things got worse. It says, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. So they didn't repent and give him glory, did they? And it's going to continue in that arena. People who will not repent and give him glory will constantly be in torment. Again, I think I shared Sunday, there are people who are willing to take the mark right now, thinking they're going to escape anything that's coming. They think that the government's going to take care of them, when that's not true. And I'm going to close at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. in verse 20. Now let's start at 18. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world. And the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Prophetic proclamation. For it is written, for it is spoken, and so shall it be. Amen? Get ready. You're going to be really bold tomorrow. Now make sure it's God and not you. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be covered by the blood and protected, that it may grow and in part and bear fruit for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.